This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Seem to be a little bit thinner than.
I know.
What's going on with this?
Selling out, guys.
Not at all.
It's happened.
Is it for a partner? Because I'm the one.
It's for the Green Hornet.
Damn it, man!
It's the only reason. There's no other reason.
How did you do it?
It's the lamest answer ever. I eat well and I exercise.
Well, we heard you were working with a trainer.
Yeah, I couldn't do this on my own.
Is it called like the five?
Yeah, he's got a book. I haven't read it. I lied to him about it. I go there real early in the morning. I'm barely awake, and he tells me what to do, and then I go home and go to sleep, and it's like it never even happened.
You're dying. You're missing the most.
Exactly. Just eating hamburgers all the time. I miss that.
When you sold the studio and you're playing the part, was there a weight that you had to reach? Was that contractual?
No, not at all. You know, they didn't give a shit. They didn't care at all. I mean, I actually see Amy Pascal. I run into her on the lawn. She's like, "You're too thin. You've gone too far. Stop it." But yeah, so they don't care at all.
How quickly do you go back to old Seth shape?
I think it'll take 3 hours.
Is it all worth it, though?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it serves the movie, you know. That's the only reason I'm doing it. I mean, you need to just physically believe I can run around and jump over shit and punch people, you know. So it's all just to serve the movie.
And how much have you lost?
I don't know. I don't weigh myself.
So it's really your commitment to making it a great, believable comic book movie that you didn't want to just try to pass as a...
Yeah, it's just to make it, I mean, comic book or not, you know, it's just a commitment to the movie, you know? I mean, it just works better if I'm a guy who's in better shape. It's as simple as that.
I just wanted to know, did you have to reach a certain place, because you're filming funny people?
Yeah.
And so did you have to, like, because obviously there's continuity in that film.
Yeah. So right now I'm kind of at my funny people weight. And then we don't start shooting Green Hornet till May, so we finished funny people in January, so I'll have, like, 4 months to transition into the Green Hornet phase.
So I'm going to go into Zach and Mary now. That's long.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinner.
So,
I was cursed by a man in a Stephen King book. That's what happened.
Kevin writes pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
You're known as a pretty funny guy. Could you talk a little bit about the dynamic on set and what it was like working with him and your process versus his?
It was great. You know, I'm more than happy to... I have no process. I don't give a shit. You know, like, I have ways I've done things, but I'm totally open to new things. I'm more than happy to hand myself over to someone, and I think it's interesting to see what they do, you know? So, Judd goes into a movie. He has no idea what he wants. He knows what the scenes are about. He doesn't know necessarily how the information comes out or who says it or how it's said, what the shots are. He doesn't know any of that. Kevin knows exactly what the shots are and who says what, and you can change the jokes within that, but he basically knows how he wants the scene to go. And they're both, they both have their merits. They both have things that make them more difficult. But it was really interesting to go into this totally other world, and I really enjoyed it. It was nice to just, I didn't have to think as much. That was a lot nicer. Just going in every day knowing I didn't have to come up with like 13 hours of shit. That was nice. And it was interesting to see how someone directs who has shots planned out. I mean, that was interesting also. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Did it help to have Elizabeth sort of, you know, right there with you because you worked with her before and had, like, a comfort level with her?
Yeah, definitely. And Craig, it was nice. I tried to insulate myself with familiar faces just because I knew we were shooting in Pittsburgh. I just wanted friends around. It was helpful. It was really helpful.
How did you feel about having your nude scene?
I was fine with it. I mean, luckily I didn't have to go. We didn't have to go too far. I didn't know what Kevin expected of us. I didn't really care. I was ready for anything. I have no shame about it. It's fine.
Is there anything you won't do?
If it's funny, I will probably do it. If I genuinely think it's funny, then there's a good chance I'll do it. I won't do something that isn't funny. Don't hold me to that.
You heard the phrase thrown around in this room from other people, Seth's encyclopedic knowledge of porn.
Yeah.
An accurate statement.
I would never claim that, but I, if it's bestowed on me, I guess I'll take it.
So it's fair to say you had enough research done before you took
exactly, yeah. You don't have to, yeah, I didn't need further research.
Did you ever have, like, a favorite porn, you know, when you're growing up? I don't know. Anything,
That Pam Anderson sex tape was pretty rad when that came out. That was kind of like a dream come true when it happened. You're kind of like, really? That happened? Wow, I get to see what? So... That was pretty good. I remember that was pretty rad when that happened. I was psyched about that.
Well, surely you must have come across in your life an actual Star Wars.
I don't know if there is an actual Star Wars, actually. I feel like if there was, then we probably wouldn't have been able to do it. Yeah. They would have sued us.
You guys, though, Kevin and you both being, I'm sure, encyclopedic knowledge of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Merging that with porn, was that like a like sort of a... really fun.
It was hilarious, and I'm surprised they were able to do it. I guess he got permission from George Lucas, otherwise we would have been sued promptly. I thought it was hilarious, and I knew, you know, so many people will masturbate to that scene in the future. So many. There'll be a lot of freeze frames of Katie in that Darth Vader outfit.
So I heard you were like a huge fan of Kevin Smith, kind of growing up with Clerks and everything.
Yeah.
Go into that a bit. Just kind of...
Yeah, he was really influential on me, you know, as a writer, and it just really, I think, laid the groundwork for the type of movies that we make now. And it just was always something I would have hoped to do was work with him. And it's one of those things that, like, it's amazing to me that I get to work with the people that, like, directly influence me, you know? Like, I'm working with Adam Sandler now, and I got to work with Kevin Smith. I mean, it's crazy.
So I'm gonna switch just to a different thing. Some of us saw you on Observe and Report. We saw what looked like a very interesting film. And recently we've been hearing rumors that it's a very different film than what we were... Could you talk a little bit about what the film, you know...
Well, it's the exact movie we wanted to make. I mean, it's a super dark comedy. I mean, it's like, it's really dark. It's like Taxi Driver, but it's like a comedic Taxi Driver. I mean, that's literally what we wanted to make. Me and Jody sat down, we're like, we want to make a comedic Taxi Driver. Like, we want to do if, like, Martin Scorsese put me in a movie and wanted it to be kind of funny, but still very dark. And that's exactly what it is. And I love it. I think, as, like, a film fan, I watch it, and I think, like, how in the hell did we get away with this? Like, it is fucking crazy. It's by far the most edgy movie I've been in, the most balls to the wall and unabashed movie I've been in, I would say. But I love it. I mean, honestly, but I could watch it over and over and over again.
My friend who saw a test screening said that he saw stuff in that film that has never been done in cinema history.
I think so. I think we really push it, and it's my pleasure, you know. And that's what, you know, I feel like in comedy, it's always important to kind of push the envelope in some ways. And Jody, I was just such a big fan of, and I mean, I'm just glad he got to make that movie the way he wanted to make it, and I'm just glad I'm in it, you know. And I don't think it'll get neutered necessarily throughout the process of it being released. I feel like it's so far in the direction that it is, you would have to do some major work to to take it out of that direction. So I feel good about it, and I'm excited for the world to see it. And
Just a quick question. Just going back to Green Hornet really quickly. You know, some of us are fans of Stephen Chow for years, and, like, he never wanted to make an American film. He's been asked so many times. What did you guys do to convince him to make a movie?
We gave him the goods, man. I don't know. We didn't know that. We had no idea if he had been approached by anyone. We always heard he was just really hard to get in contact with. But, I mean, we sent him the script, then we heard he wanted to do it. I mean, it was as simple as that to us.
Like, you made a personal phone call or sent a letter or anything like that?
Nope, nothing like that. Literally sent him the script, and then we heard he was coming. He's in this hotel right now somewhere.
I read a statement with I think that you said in the press release about how we hope he doesn't realize we're not the Wachowskis.
Yeah. He's a big fan of them. But he's a great guy. He's really funny, and... we're just thrilled. I mean, every time we're in a room with him, we're just like, how the fuck did this happen? We got him. We actually got him. And it's really exciting. And it's exciting because a lot of people want to work with him. So as we hire, you know, our production designers and cinematographers, we're getting to choose from very good people because it's apparently, we didn't know this, as exciting to everyone else as it was to us that Steven's making a movie in America. So it's great. You know, we're amazed and thrilled that like we ultimately might be the thing that like brought him to America, and that like his first American movie is also our movie. And honestly, to us, it's more exciting that like I'm in a Stephen Chow movie than that we're making the Green Hornet. Even like,
how long from Monsters vs. Aliens?
Oh, it's so awesome! I don't know if you saw that illegal trailer that leaked online. Did you? It's really rad. It's out there somewhere. You can still watch it. Well, I think they're actually releasing a trailer for it on the Kung Fu Panda DVD, which comes out in like a few days. And it's amazing. It's really awesome. It's kind of more adult oriented, like The Incredibles or something like that. And it's blown my mind what I've seen. It's really, really funny.
What kind of voice do you do? What's the character?
I play a blob, like, because, you know, we're monsters, and I play Bob, he's called, and he's a gelatinous blob with no brain, so he's stupid, and it's a very funny character, actually. It's a great movie. I've had a lot of fun doing it. And
but your own voice, or you put on it?
I don't have other voices. Have you seen me?
How long have you known Elizabeth, and can you talk about your friendship and your opinion of how her career's going?
Yeah, I met her on 40-Year-Old Virgin is when I met her. That was, I guess, in 2005, I guess? Maybe 2004 when we shot it. And we got along well, and she's friends with Paul Rudd and you know, those Stella guys, and I kind of knew some of those people, so we'd hang out and see each other. We just got along really well. She's really funny, kind of has a dirty sense of humor, and I always thought, you know, it was crazy that she wasn't in these types of movies, that she wasn't like the main girl in a romantic comedy, you know. So as soon as Kevin said, you know, is there anyone you can think of? I was like, oh, Elizabeth Banks, obviously. You know, it's weird that you didn't think of that, you know? Yeah, and I'm thrilled for her, you know? She's doing a lot of different stuff, and I'm a big Definitely Maybe fan. I'm glad it's all happening.
Your name's been sort of unofficially thrown into the prospect of doing a Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
Has anyone talked to you formally about that?
No. Not at all.
Where would you fall on that if it was?
It's hard to imagine that would be good, isn't it? I mean, like, just as a movie fan, I mean, I'm the first guy to be skeptical of that. I mean, that, it sounds like a terrible idea when I first hear it. It's the first glance that it sounds like the worst idea ever, but I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if there's really something, it's hard. That would have to be one motherfucking good script, I would say.
And you work with Ramis.
So yeah.
If he was involved, would that be harder to say no?
It all depends on how bad the script was. If it was, there's a point where it's so bad where it's really easy to say no. I have enough insulation around me now, also, that I don't even have to say anything.
So, Seth, with all the kind of bullshit of Hollywood and stuff, you're such a huge star now. How do you kind of just keep it real?
I keep it real. I drink with my homies every night. No, I don't know. I don't do anything. I don't know. I just do all the same shit I always did. Luckily, I think, I mean, I never really wanted to be famous. I just wanted to make movies. So my lifestyle really, I mean, I always worked for a certain amount of hours a day, and then I came home and I did the shit I like doing. So I still do that, you know?
Of all the characters you've played, which do you think would make a good Halloween costume?
I hope to see some Dales and Sauls out there. I feel like it's an easy costume to affect. I feel like if you got a tan suit and some Guatemalan pants, then, and a friend, then you can do that.
Do you ever want to write like comic book, like a little run on something? Like Kevin's done that, John Favreau's doing it.
Yeah, me and Evan have looked into that, actually.
Is there a character that you got your eye on, or...?
We've talked, no, I'm not sure right now, but, yeah, we've talked about it. It just seems so crazy to take on more responsibility right now.
So, one more question, with Stephen Chow.
Yeah.
Did you guys have, like, a different opinion when you're shooting the movie?
Like, if he wants to put his own things.
Well, we, I mean, right now is where we're just beginning the conversations. I mean, we haven't started shooting yet, but, no, I mean, we wanted his input, you know. We gave him the script in a very early phase, hoping that he would have a lot of ideas to add to it, you know. When we do something, I don't know if it's the best idea ever, I would not necessarily recommend this to writers, but we send our script out to directors at a very early step in the process, to the point where it just scares some directors away altogether, and they say, ugh, and some people get it and say, I get what they're going for, and I have a lot of ideas that can help build this. And Steven had a lot of ideas, and that's exactly what we wanted, and I feel like you know, and we want our directors to feel like it's their movie too. You know, we don't want to feel like they're just guys who are brought in to film what we wrote. You know, we want them to feel like it's, they can stand behind it also. So, no, so far we haven't disagreed. I mean, we're just all trying to figure out what the movie should be.
With the success of The Dark Knight, a lot of people have talked about doing IMAX stuff on their future movies. Is that something you would consider for Hornet, or even some of your other films in the upcoming future?
Yeah, you know, actually, Evan has been doing a lot of research into that lately, as far as 3D stuff goes, and IMAX stuff, and these different ways of shooting stuff. He's now the resident expert on that. You'll have to ask him that if you see him, because he's really been boning up on the exact price ramifications of shooting in that stuff versus how much it traditionally gains you in the box office versus just how cool the filmmakers think it is to have that. So Evan is boning up on that. So we're considering it.
And also, you were in a film called Fanboys, which is finally coming out.
Is it? I bet you $1 billion it will.
Kyle Newman on the red carpet last night, and he said the Weinstein Company have a release.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, what's that been? Because I've seen it. You play like 5 million parts in that film.
I do.
And so I mean, you're really good in it. And
thanks.
Could you talk a little bit about the characters you play and what's it been like waiting for this thing to come out?
It's been ridiculous, and it I play a lot of different characters. I had a good time doing it. I mean, I made that movie. You have no concept of how long. I made that movie before I made Knocked Up. I made that movie a really long time ago. I had a lot of fun making it. I initially pretty much did it because Jay Baruchel was in it, and we're really good friends, and I didn't know any of those other guys, but I went and I had a good time. They got let me put on prosthetic makeup. I got to play a Star Trek fan. I play a pimp in one scene, and it was a lot of fun. And then, I don't know what the fuck happened after that. They bumbled that one. I think it's a good lesson in not listening to people on the internet. I think they got scared by internet buzz, and I'm of the thought that internet buzz is literally something that is influenced by 500 people with laptops, and I think they let internet buzz change it, and then change it back, and then make some other weird version of it, and I don't even know what the hell they're going to release. It's, you know, like, let the filmmakers make their movies. Don't worry about what early reactions are. If the people who made it like it, I would say let them release it like that. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it's been a very mishandled project.
What's your take on the changes made to Zach and Mary to get the R? Like taking out.
They didn't have to change anything.
Well.
Did they?
They were counting Jason's thrust.
But I think he ultimately didn't have to change anything in order to get it. I think every thrust that he wanted is in there, which makes me happy.
Last question, please.
I'll do the. Could you talk a little bit about what Judd's been like on this project for Funny People versus the others? And
yeah. And was
oh,
one,
no,
sorry.
I'll just do that.
It's been. I mean, it's a different movie. It's tonally a little more dramatic at times. So that actually makes it a lot easier. We don't have to think of jokes all day. We're not constantly pressuring ourselves to make it hilarious in every scene. And the fact that Janosch is shooting it actually takes off a lot of pressure. It's the one problem people have with our movies sometimes, they don't look that good, so it's sometimes a battle of how can we improvise a lot and keep it visually interesting, but Janosch is obviously such a genius, he's found ways of shooting with three cameras at once, and it looks as beautiful as anything you've ever seen, so that actually has made it a lot easier, and has taken just a lot of the pressure off, and it's been a lot of fun. Working with Sandler's great, he creates a very relaxed environment. It's been actually the most relaxed shooting experience I've ever had.
Thank you. Cool.
So which way are you actually looking for to find the inspirations to write comedies?
I sort of
online or friends.
Yeah, my friends and my life and just kind of things that happen. Yeah, day to day stuff.
Cool.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
And fanboys with the Jar Jar joke.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
That's a good joke. I wonder what have you seen the version they're releasing?
I have, and to be really honest with you, I saw the very first version, and that was the best one.
I think so, too. I like the first version.
It was just a solid movie.
Yeah, it was a solid movie. It wasn't,
it was just a solid movie.
Didn't rewrite the book on anything. Exactly, If at best case scenario your movie's solid, why change it?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Thank you. Yeah.